Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
That was lovely food. That was really lovely. That was very good food.
Much needed.
I think it's because, and you're going to hear lots of background noises because we're back at Gunchen's, everybody. We're back at Gunchen's restaurant. Gansel, courtesy of our good friend Pete, who runs this establishment. He loves a podcast. And he said, anytime you boys, while you're homeless, while we're
and we really are homeless.
We are. And I'm choking on the masala, the flavours. We just had, let's talk food for a second.
The naan killed me.
No, see, I didn't think it was that spicy. So, I thought it was just flavoury.
I've had green chilies all over you. You're feeling alright.
It was a garlic and chili naan.
Yeah.
As well as plain naan.
Banging.
We did the dal makhani.
Yeah.
We did a chicken. We had a chicken methi thing.
It was nice.
Chicken with like spinach or garlic.
It was methi.
Chicken in it.
It was
methi. Right. That was delicious. And then the
bangin' aloo.
And then the bangin'.
What'd you do, the aloo?
Bangin' aloo, mate. Yeah. It was banging.
Not meant to do that to the spuds.
No. Well,
spuds matter.
You know, yeah, exactly. As long as you've got the spuds' consent first.
That's it, yeah.
But it was like a jarry bangin'.
Yeah.
Like they got like a little jar of
little zingy.
And you know, have you ever cooked with a jar like that? Do you ever do that at home?
No.
You don't need a lot. You know, from your deal that you get that nice jar.
Oh, that deal, yeah.
Just a little bit of that deal into a. I'm talking about a teaspoon.
Oh, okay.
And then it just gives it that little bang. Nice. I do like an uncharted one. Anyway, so thank you. And by the way,
what should you do with that deal?
Huh? Well, you could do many things.
I don't know. Ask Diddy.
Yeah, exactly. Now, but there's not much a jarry deal. If you had 1,000 bottles of that, you would need 15,000 a jarry bottles.
I reckon there must be some shop in India now that is doing the a jarry deal.
Do you want a jarry massage?
Oh, yeah. You see, it might be really good for your skin. You never know. Might kind of, you know, replenish things, have positive effects. It could be the miracle thing to, like, you know, sore knees or whatever. Oh, you know what you need? You need mango a jarry massage.
Wow.
That could be a novelty treatment, like at some quirky resort in India.
It's kind of thing that you'd probably find if you went to Birmingham.
What? A jarry massage?
Yeah. I just think it would exist there.
Well, maybe we can find out, Kedge.
Okay.
Because we're going to Birmingham.
Well, here we are.
That was a good plug, Kedge.
Thanks.
Well done.
I mean, we're trying to get people to come to the show, Kedge, and you just said that they're going around having a jarry massage.
You know what?
Well, maybe if they came to our show, they might be able to experience a jarry massage for the first time.
10th of December, Kedge will be sprawled out on the stage. Please bring your own achard. Give him a little rub down. There's no extra charge for anybody.
Well, so you're allowed to give him like one massage, a jarry massage to get any part of his body.
Look at that. See how he's added that?
What
are you saying, Tommy? That people can massage and touch me anywhere? Then.
Sounds like
you're into it, bro.
It sounds like, you know, it's like your good luck charm. You just come and like...
Mango pickle. Pickle.
Yeah.
One other pickle.
Or maybe might lose a pickle.
Yeah.
Well, I did have a little gudgeon in here. Don't know where it's gone. You know, like they sometimes when they're operating on people and they go, oh no, we've left like one of the utensils inside them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that. It's like, so they're giving you a massage with a gudgeon.
Nice.
And it's
Well, no, let's not do that. But at least come and see the show.
10th of December, we're doing the live podcast. People, you got to get your tickets. You got to go to Love Entertainment.
Popular demand. Because we always get, you always do everything in London. You're always London centric. Right, you know what? Let's do it for the mass outside of London. So let's go Birmingham.
Yeah, and you know what? It's not just for Birmingham people. Mm. If you're from Wolverhampton,
Leicester, Wolverhampton.
Yeah, even this is your chance. Yeah.
Even the kind of South West Midlands people. So like your Solihull massive.
Yeah.
If you're listening, get yourself there. So we're doing this at the Glee Club, Birmingham, 10th of December.
Yeah. Right.
£10 a ticket for a 1 hour.
£10 is nothing.
It's nothing, bro. It's not about the money. And generally, it's not a moneymaker or anything like that for us. I think we've got about 150 seats in the room. So it's a small room. I've done the Glee Club many times. You've got the big room, which holds 450. Mm. And then you got this room, which is 150. It's a nice room. It really is. The Glee Club. And by the way, mark my words. Remember I said this?
Yeah.
The staff at the Glee Club are lovely.
Oh, okay.
The Birmingham Glee Club, in fact, all Glee Clubs in general, but the Birmingham ones, super friendly, nice vibe.
I've been there.
You can get like, you can order food there as well. You can get like pizzas and things like that, nachos, have some drinks.
Oh, nice.
Come and watch the podcast. Come and see a live recording.
On the table?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely can.
Thank you.
10th of December. Tickets are through loveentertainment.co.uk. Right. That's LUVentertainment.co.uk. If you forget that for any reason, you can just go to tommysandu.co.uk and it will redirect you to loveentertainment.co.uk.
And you can just go to our Instagram.
Yeah.
And hit the link in bio and it says there, tickets to our Birmingham live show.
Lovely. And, you lot are silly.
Because you were in Birmingham because it was your birthday. So Kanchan have just now rolled out with a cake with a candle.
Lovely.
And look at this little surprise.
Hello to Murthy and Bilal.
Jalal.
Sorry, Jalal.
Right, here we go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Tommy.
Happy birthday to you.
Yay! I'm going to give it a fork first. Let's get the fork out of here.
Right.
Yeah, shall I fork myself?
Yeah,
fork
it.
I'm totally forked right now. Here we go.
Not a wet one, though.
Fork your birthday.
Make a wish. Ready?
Make a wish.
Yay! Oh, thank you very much.
That was a great
48
wish.
Years old 48? Last Sunday,
you
people.
Don't look it. 47 at least.
Obviously. Oh, yeah, exactly, bro. What cake is this, by the way?
It looks like a Victoria. No, it looks like a red velvet.
Do you know what? 48, you look good, man.
Do you think
you're looking good. Yeah,
I don't know. Because I was.
What do you feel?
No, I don't think I've aged since I was about 27.
Kedge, feed him cake with your crusty fingers.
Yeah.
Do it. Now pick up the whole thing and just shove it in his mouth.
No. And the cake. Because then I'll have to start singing.
You know what? Look how nice and moist and gooey this cake is. Look at that.
Very good.
The sponge is nice and.
Do you know what? I said, because I spoke to Peter early in the day today.
Yeah.
I said, all we need, doing a good job, jamming. Two balls and a candle, we'd be happy.
Yeah. He loves
that's
it.
What you should have done.
That's what I said. That's exactly Tommy, what I said over the phone.
Thank you.
I was like, we'd be happy with two balls.
Happy birthday.
Two balls and a candle.
Okay.
Give me a plate.
Then I'm going to share in true Desi style.
Yeah.
I'm going to share this Mumita moment with all our listeners.
Yeah.
Lovely.
May you all have sweet blessings and good times ahead. Here we go.
All right.
I think it's red velvet, isn't it?
It is red velvet.
I missed the plate.
Oh, my God.
How was your birthday? So you're up in Birmingham for your birthday.
Perfect. Can I say? That is.
Is it banging cake?
It's perfect.
Good cake. Okay.
Because we just had all the mecham with all the.
Is it? Does it work
spices.
Nice,
yeah.
Cleansed your palate.
That is an instant like. On the tongue. Birthday with lovely. Nice, isn't it? Mm. And it's a nice sticky sponge. That's what I like. I don't like a sukkah sponge.
Oh, it's a nice one, eh?
Yeah.
No one likes a dry sponge.
No. Yeah. And you know when a cake's.
I
want to start
red velvet is not really my game.
No, but. I wouldn't go for it. I'm carrot cake or quite like the walnut cakes recently, but I was eating my way through it at weekend. It was lovely. I'm going gym every day.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying life at the moment. I'm feeling good at the moment. Mm. Honestly, okay, is this weird to say? Shall I say it?
Go on, say it.
This is not a heavy podcast. This has probably been my best birthday in about 6 or 7 years.
Nice.
Right, and it is probably linked a little bit to losing our jobs and all that.
Mm.
And after that, I just felt like I wasn't properly happy. I couldn't really be. But like recently, you know, we've sold the house, you know.
You're finding the joy again.
Yeah. And I didn't think that'd be possible. And I'm only going to quickly say that because we talk about this all the time.
It's nice to hear.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Like, it's nice to hear.
Like I feel happy.
Yeah.
I feel happy. I'm for like properly internally happy.
Mm.
For real time. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. all right, for real. And by the way, can I quickly have to do a little Pharrell tangent now? I have to do the story that I saw online because you just said.
Yeah, go on, go on.
Pharrell,
I think I know what you're gonna say.
Go on, what's the story? Who's it? What's it about?
He's with Snoop Dogg.
No.
Oh, okay.
He's talking about
Stevie Wonder.
Album that. No. Oh, not that story. I've seen that one as well.
Yeah, okay.
And how Stevie Wonder, how they got stoned and he was too stoned
he's
to do
too stoned, yeah.
Yeah. No, not that one. I seen
Sir,
that
did
one.
You finished the cake already?
Yeah.
I had a small piece of it.
Okay. But the Pharrell story is that he wrote an album for Michael Jackson.
Oh.
Right? Wrote an album for Michael Jackson.
Mm. What?
Gave it to him. And for some reason, it didn't happen.
Yep.
They didn't get it. So somebody came along and took that album.
I know.
Legitimately.
Who
was it?
Justin Timberlake.
Wow.
So that, don't be so quick to.
Yeah, but you can tell that.
Yeah.
You can tell.
That song is a Michael Jackson song. That was meant for Michael Jackson. And it sounds like, yeah. I want to rock your body.
Mm. And Like I Love You.
Yeah.
That's
a Michael Jackson.
And then Pharrell said that years later, he asked Michael Jackson to sing it. Michael Jackson kind of leaned into his ear and just sung it. And he went, oh, That's what it could have been, but it was good. But Justin did a good job on it. Anyway, so...
I mean,
but,
the difference between having MJ sing that and Justin...
Well,
blimey.
I think it made... it made Justin...
It's like having Satch DJ for you or Kedge DJ for you.
No, but I mean, like, no, don't get me wrong. I think Justin... those shoes are anthems and the album's a wicked album. But then the level up from Justin to MJ.
Yeah, but then maybe you could argue it might not have... Because... What was the other song? Yeah, when MJ's done his newer stuff, it hasn't really worked.
No, I think it would.
The classics are the classics.
I think it would.
I'm happy, is my point is, and I'm loving life at the moment. So
good.
Loving the shows, loving stand-up, loving voiceover.
What did you do then?
Writing. So on the actual birthday, which was Sunday, we got up, and as a family, me, my missus, Binny, and the two kids, Milo and Logan, and my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law, who are all from Birmingham, I thought of you boys.
Yeah.
Where did I go for breakfast?
Where did you go?
Desi breakfast. What's the ultimate Desi breakfast?
Dishoom.
We used to go all the time. Dishoom. So it reminded me of the breakfast show days. We went for breakfast at Dishoom, which was delicious. And those sausage naan breakfasting is just delicious. I had the full thing.
Full breakfast.
Sausage.
Yeah.
The masala scrambled egg.
Full Desi.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And the limitless masala chai.
Can't
wonderful. And Logan clocked my little brioche bun. You know, your power bun.
Checking out your bun.
Yeah, and he went, "What's that?" And he goes, "That looks crispy." I went, "Yeah, go on." And he had it. He goes, "Can I have this?" I was like, "Yeah."
Nice.
Because he's just like, it's a soft, buttery, toasty bread.
Yeah.
So anyway, had that. But then that night, I worked at Warwick Arts Centre for a show, Bollywood Time Machine show.
Okay.
And I told the audience, I said, "Look, it's my birthday, but I want you to know this is where I'd want to be."
Yeah.
I'd want to be performing on my birthday. I love my job.
Okay. I worked on my birthday. I did a wedding.
Right. Okay. You probably do most years.
Yeah, I always do. Right. Always do.
But the night before, I got to say, Birmingham pubs are so much, can I say that, better than London pubs?
Oh, okay.
The food is better.
Do you know what? I think I probably agree with you. Birmingham. I think Midlands pubs.
Midlands pubs are the best. Yeah.
Was it a proper English pub?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Well, the one I went to was. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were thinking Desi.
The Desi ones are good too. They are good. But this was where the croquette fritters are lovely.
Right.
The bread was nice.
Yeah.
The drinks.
Was it packed?
We were in the dining-y area. And also, all their pubs are massive. And I swear that's because land is a bit cheaper.
Space,
exactly. It's not like London, where it's trying to ram everything in. So, had a wicked pub meal with all the family.
Went to work.
And you know what? I even had a couple of drinks. Not a lot, just a couple of drinks.
So
that was kind of nice.
For your birthday.
And then the next day, the Dishoom one. And then, by the way, today I was at went to a nice meal in central London with my missus. Thank you, Pete. Thank you for the cake. It's just gone past. And then and on Thursday, we're going to go to the theatre. We're going to watch Operation Mincemeat, which
prolonged birthday.
And then on the weekend, my boys are coming down from university. And we have literally, in 15 years, not had a night out together. They've come along to when I've worked. Ooh. So... And we're going to a brunch. We're going to Aram Bangra brunch.
Is this the one that I'm coming to?
You're going to come join us for the garage one, aren't you? Or the Aram Bangra? Which one? Or can you do both? 12. We got one brunch from 12.
There was one at the end of the month.
This is the end of the month.
We're at the end of the month, Cage.
It'll be the 30th.
Saturday?
Yeah.
What time?
So there's 12 till 4.
Can you sort this out? Can you sort this out? Off the podcast? Yeah.
And then the other one is 3 till 7. So
hello.
There's a crossover.
Hello.
All right. Let's take this one out offline.
Isn't it?
Offline. But
man's just making plans for the weekend on the podcast.
I forgot. Right. I panicked because I was ready for this.
Yeah.
But going to the pub thing. So what I wanted to ask you, it's funny because you went to a pub and I went to a pub over the weekend as well. Mm. And I went near sort of Kingston. It was like around them areas, right, with a couple of friends, Gore friends.
Mm. Kingston town.
Yeah, Kingston.
The place I long to be.
No, because one of my football friends has now moved there. So we hadn't seen him and all this kind of stuff. So we thought there's a couple of us from where we are in Watford. And we went down to go and see him.
Lived in South London for about 10 years. I've known him.
Yeah, but you never want to take me to the pub. Anyway,
you never come down.
That's true. No, I did come down once. We did once.
Where did you come? You've never come down.
Some restaurant
London.
We went to. Me and you.
Bob, you've never come
it was
to
for
South
work,
London.
But anyway.
Oh, right, can we take this off the podcast, please? Can you discuss these things in private?
Yeah,
no, I'm going to say this on the.
So don't
airing all the dirty laundry.
There's something that I felt, and then I was trying to go into, and I think it's like there's some sort of trauma that I'm dealing with throughout all these years, and I think that this, and I thought, you know what, I think this is what a lot of Asians feel, and I just don't know. Sometimes we haven't really spoken about it, or we don't address it.
And it came out in the pub.
Go on.
And it came out. Well, no, it came out for me.
Something came out of you in the pub
because we started speaking about it.
And Asians don't address it. You didn't dress yours.
No. So basically, what I felt is that, and to this day, I always feel the same. When I walk into a pub, do you not feel that still being an Asian, you are looked at?
No.
And you are. I feel this thing where every time I go into a pub, I just feel, oh, it's that one Asian guy who's coming into the pub. And there's something inside me that just doesn't feel right. It takes time for me to settle, to sit down, maybe a drink in, and then, you know, because they see you with your white friends, and then you become accepted. But I just think, like, even in Watford, you go anytime, well, you know, I've been on a pub crawl, and Tommy will know this, but you go to a pub and being the only Asian guy, or very few Asian people, I still think that this exists. Am I making this up?
No, I tell you what I'm doing. As you were saying all of that, I'm putting myself through that scenario. Now, the fact is, that's probably the sad fact, or I don't really, I'm not too bothered.
But
I don't get to go to, I don't do pubs.
No, I don't either.
So, very rarely I've gone.
But when I think back to back in the day, if you were going, okay, it depends on the area. Really does. Okay?
Yeah, but I think, but Kingston is quite qualified.
Kingston,
it's quite posh. It's quite posh.
Anywhere in the south is very qualified.
Yeah, but even like Watford as well. Again, a lot of sort of English people are there, so you don't see that many Asian people coming in.
No.
And it just feels like, you know, you're the only one.
No, I know what you mean. I tell you what, where my mind's gone to. I'll come back to that, right? Yeah. In the Asianness. I'm working out where I stand at. So I like the looks. I like it.
Okay.
Number one. When the door opens in a pub, that squeaky door, you know, that little kind of...
Because everyone looks.
Yeah. And they look round. I'm trying to think, where have I been? There's a few pubs in Essex that are quite gorified, right?
Yeah.
And you go in and you get a look. But then I like going, all right? And they go, oh, as soon as you open your mouth and you talk like that, you're not going, oh, hello, how are you?
No, that's how Kedge talks. Hello.
Hello.
I think me and you can just roll in a pub and just get it.
Yeah, exactly. As soon as you go, you're right?
I think it's a you thing.
I think I feel a little bit like intimidated.
You should.
For the first 15, 20 minutes, it takes me time to get used to it. I'm a little bit on edge. Once I've got a drink, and then once you start drinking, and then you know you're having the bants and stuff, you're okay. But I just feel that
maybe,
like,
that's what it is, because me and Sacha are non-drinkers. We're comfortable in our skin anyway.
Oh, here we go.
See, that's what it is.
No.
Then
but
you've
I'm
got
just
anxiety.
Like, no, it's not anxiety. It's just that I just felt like, you know, it feels weird that in 2024 you still walk into a pub and you think, well, actually, they're still looking at the few coloured people who are walking into this establishment.
You can't say coloured people. Okay. You have to people of colour.
People
it doesn't
colour.
Matter. I know what you mean, so that's okay.
Yeah.
But in the same way, let me flip it though, just to make sure this is not a white, brown, black thing, right? Let me flip it. You go to India, all brown bar, and a Gora or Gori walks in, everyone's going to look. Everyone's going to look.
Of course they're going to look. But that's different.
Not even a
Gora or Gori.
One of us walks in.
Still stare at you because they're like, you're not for me.
Right.
Yeah, because you're wearing shorts.
I heard on
I don't mind. I like it. I like it when people, they're like, yeah, where's he from?
In the last week on
they'll be like, where are you from?
Yeah. On LBC, they were having a debate, something about immigration and people in the country.
Yeah.
And some white woman got on the phone from Leicester and she goes, they all stare at you. All the Asian guys, they just stare at you. Yeah. Everywhere you go, you feel like they're just staring.
That's a bit creepy.
And I felt like, I wanted to call and go, look, it's not just you. They stare at everyone.
Yeah.
I used to hate it growing up in East Ham when my mum used to wash the net curtains.
Yeah.
Because everyone would go past and look in the house.
Yeah.
And I used to hate
everyone's
that.
A little looking.
Like, just because I felt like everyone would look and they'd look properly in. And I just didn't, I don't know why. I just never liked that.
I quite like it, actually.
A little parader.
Yeah.
And even today, I was in the hotel in Scotland. I've come back from Scotland this morning. Yeah. So, and as I was getting ready, like, outside my window was the car park.
Yeah.
So it's only cars, but I'm like, I close the curtains all up properly.
Really?
I'm like, no, I don't know.
I don't like that.
I don't want to see my bits.
For that. Yeah, okay, fine.
But in general, like, it feels too exposed.
Oh, like you're running the room and just close the curtains. Yeah, that's a bit weird.
But okay, going back and quickly, the last thing on the pub is, I remember now as you're saying it about Asian pub, I don't remember really that because there would always be groups of Asians. But actually, what you wouldn't get too often, this is terrible, I don't know if I can even say this, but back in the day you wouldn't get that many black people in the pub.
No.
But there'd be
in
one
this pub I went to, there was one Asian girl, one black guy, and there was me.
And black guys, it would be kind of a glorified black guy. You know, you'd have like a, you'd have a leather jacket,
like the one in Only Fools and Horses.
Yeah, a bit like that. Yeah. But
I forgot his name.
But you're right. It was more road sweeper. It was more like the '80s black guy.
Yeah.
That you'd get in a pub.
Yeah.
Not a noughties. You know, you wouldn't get a modern day.
Gosh, I haven't been in a pub in a long time.
And I don't even know what
not
pubs.
Stormzy.
No, definitely not. You don't get cool. You don't get cool about, you know, the youth and music, whatever. These are kind of like, they play a bit of darts, black guys.
Yeah.
And like the Asian. And that's it, back in the day, in the same way the Asians in the pub were those guys that were like, they'd talk to Janet behind the bar.
Yeah.
You know, they got a bit of banter.
Yeah, fruity.
Like, yeah. Kedge is more of a pub person, whereas I don't think I'd go into a pub. Nah. I'm more a bar.
Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, I'll just go anywhere, innit?
wherever his real boyfriend's go, that's where he will go.
So you said you came back from Glasgow this morning then?
Yeah, travel back this morning. Oh my God, can I do this? Can I do this now?
What's that?
One, two, three. Three incidents on the way home from Glasgow.
You do love a train incident, don't you?
Bro, I'm sad to his
plane incident.
Yeah.
It happens. It happens. It seems to happen all the time, right? Yeah. So thank you very much. So you can have the cake taken away now as well. Yeah. Still three more slices there. I'm going to go manual on that one. It's okay. Iraklo. Thank you, Digga. Thank you. See that?
Yeah, go on.
Iraklo.
Yeah, that was good. What was that? Spanish?
Yeah. Hola. Iraklo. No, that's all right. We'll just eat that manually. Thank you. Hang around. Are you taking the knife away? Like, you don't trust me with a knife?
No, you don't. Yeah, cool.
Right. So, on the
three incidents.
Okay, incident number one. And they are open to debate. So, I need you to open this, right? Number one, we're on the train.
4 hour journey, right?
4.5 hour journey. Okay. Last time I was on this journey, one of the stand up comedians I was with.
Bag got nicked.
I say the laptop.
Yeah.
Got nicked from underneath him. Yeah. So, he had it underneath him.
We all fell asleep. That's a daft move.
That's a daft move. It is a daft move.
For that reason, I had a very big bag because I had all my stuff from Birmingham, the show and all that, and my gym kit and my suit for the awards that I was hosting.
Yeah.
So, and I'm like, I'm not leaving this bag for 4.5 hours because it wouldn't fit in the overhead.
No.
Yeah.
I can't put it next to me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm not leaving it in that little section.
Yeah. The basket.
Four or five meters
you can't
down.
See it. Yeah.
So I put it in that area and I thought, train was empty because I got on the 6:45, 7 o'clock train this morning.
Yeah. Right.
Right. And I put the bag there. I thought, I'm just going to sit on this table. Okay. So I've got a seat. When I get moved, I get moved, right?
Yeah.
But
and
actually, of the 4.5 hours, I got 3 hours on that seat.
Oh, that's good.
Then it got busier as we got closer to London.
Yeah.
Someone came along. That's my seat. Said, absolutely, no problem.
I'm off.
But by then, I had my phone charged for three hours. Happy.
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm stocked up. I can see this. I'm on the end stretch.
Yeah.
So I go back to my seat. I sit next to this woman. She's from Manchester. We spoke briefly. And that was that. So we're sitting next to each other. Behind us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear a guy come over, and now the train's packed. Every seat is gone, right?
It's got what time is this roughly?
This is now...
9-ish.
No. So now I pulled in at 12. It's about 10:30, 11. 10:30-ish, right? So it's the last hour and a half of the journey. Guy comes over to the people behind me, and he goes, excuse me, those are our seats. He said it nicely. He was with his with his wife, right? And I didn't look around. And he went, oh, mate, I heard the guy go. And the guy talking in the chair, strong Scottish accent, and he went, mate... none of the seats are working, and he's right. None of the displays
were correct.
We're working.
Yeah.
However, and I missed this. I had my headphones on. My Manchester lady next to me told me. She said they made an announcement. They said the seat number things aren't working, but sit in your seats that you've got allocated.
Yeah,
okay, still stick with those seats.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I thought they'd gone. No, seats are out the window, free for all.
Yeah.
Right? But they didn't say that.
Yeah.
So that's what adds. So you need to know that. And the guy goes, no, but those are our seats. And he goes, well, I'm sorry, mate. But we've got seats somewhere and we can't have those because someone's sitting in our seats.
Yeah.
Well, move.
Now, I think he was lying because what comes up next. So then the guy goes, no, mate, we just got up to go to the drinks cart.
Yeah.
We just left our seats for a minute and now we've come back.
Yeah.
Like we were already sat already here. I'm not taking it now.
Yeah.
We were already here.
Yeah.
And then the guy flipped out and he went, and effing and blinding.
Oh.
And effing and jeffing loud.
Oh, wow.
Loud.
10:30 in the morning, yeah?
Right. He goes, I don't give a shit. Right. Yeah. And he goes, you can't, what did he say? He said to me like, you can't just come over and claim something to be yours.
Yeah.
Oh.
And as soon as he said that, I thought, right, this geezer's not in a happy place.
Yeah.
Right? So he's, and then I'm thinking, so I look around at Manchester woman and she raised her eyebrows like, ooh.
Oh, it's heating up here.
And I thought, Tommy, don't get involved.
Yeah. No.
Right?
You got front row seats as well.
And I'm right in front of them, so I can hear it all.
Yeah.
Actually, I tell you like, what I did do is I hit voice recorder on my phone because they want to start filming.
Right.
Because I wanted to share it with you. But I couldn't get the voice recorder near enough to get it. So I just played you a bit of it. And it was a bit
couldn't
of a...
Couldn't hear anything.
No, exactly. A bit, you can hear the odd swear word.
Yeah.
And then the girlfriend of the guy who was getting angry sat down. She went, I'm not going to fight over a seat. And he went, no, don't move. Don't move. These are ours. Don't move. Right? Now, in that situation then, she gets up, then he follows, but they didn't go to their seat. They sat on the two seats that were just by the toilets. Right. You know that opening toilet?
Yeah.
They just sat there. And I'm like, so you didn't have a seat?
Because
you would have gone and tracked down your seat.
Yeah, yeah.
And gone and sat there. Yeah. But as he went off, he barged the guy he goes, oi. And the guy who barged was a bigger guy. He was older, but he was bigger. And he went, oi. He goes, what's your problem? Why are you barging for?
Yeah.
Like, these are ass. Like, what's your problem?
Yeah.
So it all kind of kicked off. That was issue number one.
Okay. But it didn't kick off. That was a little semi kick off.
Bro, it was more of a kick off than I think that I've ever seen. Before.
But it wasn't like a fist flying kind of kick off.
That was a fight.
But what I realise is, people can switch so easy now.
Just like that.
Yeah.
It's just not worth it. If you're in a car, whatever, and you don't know who's going through what. That guy, I'm telling you now, the guy who was angry, he's going through some stuff.
Yeah.
Right? He's got some, like, that was too much anger too quickly.
Yeah.
And then
that
to statement 60. Of
you can't just come, it was like you can't come over here claiming things to be yours. It was almost like that. But
come in here taking our jobs.
Immigrants. Yeah, it was like immigrants. That. Yeah, okay.
Anyway, that's the first kick. A little bit of excitement. And
did those two get their seats in?
They got their seats and the other two went and sat by the toilet.
Right.
Okay. Sure. Okay. Then I get onto the tube. Mm. Right? Incident number two.
So you're at Euston now.
Now this is I'm at Euston station, right? Yep. Get to the tube. And I stand up because, again, I've got the big bag. I'm not going to go sit in those little narrow seats.
Nah,
put the bag down. I'm on that bit by the window where you can pull the window down and get the hover.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm at that bit.
Yeah. I like that seat.
And the perchy seat. Yeah. You're not quite sitting. You're not quite standing. Yeah. It's a bit of an awkward height.
That's my spot if I'm ever on the tube.
I can see it. And, the kids like that because they like to sit in that little
cubby
bit.
I don't want to go and sit on the
chair,
seat.
Chair. Yeah, fair enough. Okay. That's your little lean spot. That's you, though, sat on the toes by the exit, ready to go. Action, man. So my point is, because I'm sat there, a homeless guy comes onto the train.
Yeah.
And he turns his back to me and he faces the rest of the carriage because I'm at the very back. So he's not saying it to me. And he goes, excuse me, everybody. Sorry to disturb you.
But did he have quite like a small sort of like a mouse kind of voice?
Like what? Did do the impression?
I can't.
Go on, give us a mouse.
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. Like that.
Well, I mean, he wasn't. He didn't project it like Pavarotti.
No, but it's like, it's quite distinct. It's quite distinct. I think we.
Excuse me, everybody.
Yeah.
More than one home. What, are you trying to make out that you know who
I think
about?
I know the homeless guy.
Because
from Euston, there's that one guy.
Yeah, it's his mate. It's his mate.
Victorian lad.
He sees him every day.
I know him.
You're so desi. I know him. Say my name. Tell him, your Kedge's friend.
Kedge's mate.
Yeah, anyway. He'll leave you alone. He won't ask you anymore.
Yeah, go on.
You got to give him half, like, 50p. Not
exactly. You need a discount. He's like, you're Kedge's mate. He goes, forget it. I'm going to get the money out of you. Right? But so he stood in front of me and he's addressing the carriage and he goes, excuse me, everybody. Sorry to disturb you. Would it be possible? A bit of change or a bit of food? I'd really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Now, people just stay quiet.
Yeah.
Of course.
Right? And then he said something, which I want to bring to the table here.
Yeah, okay.
The guy goes, well, I would appreciate if you just all said no. Because being ignored is really hard.
Oh.
Right? Now, I know this about homeless because we've done various pieces and things for the one show and all that. And actually, the big thing is that they just get ignored. They get forgotten. That's a big part, problem in their mental health and their status and all that kind of stuff in their heads. So whenever they come on, and if I am in front of them, I will look at them when they do the spiel.
Yeah.
And then I'll just go, sorry, I haven't got any change.
Yeah,
and they go, no worries.
Yeah.
And they move on. But nobody said anything. But then I was like, mate, I don't think you should have said that.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to win them over by going, well, at least you could say something. Because people are nervous as well. People don't. Yeah. They don't know what to say. They don't have the confidence
to
say.
You've got to remember as well, because as a punter, you always feel guilty that if you make eye contact with this person and you haven't got anything to give or you don't want to give, because, at the end of the day, everyone is going through a bit of a cost of living crisis at the moment. Do you know what I mean? Everyone is trying to figure out the cheapest deal. Yeah, it's not easy, going to Tesco and trying to do your weekly shop, trying to, save money, cut corners, all that. It's not easy. And then on top of that,
you don't go to Tesco. Yours gets delivered seven days a week.
Not anymore, mate. Not anymore. I'm actually there now, doing the hustle. I'm doing the hustle. But
finally.
I know. Well, just because, you've got to save money. But I was just thinking, it's hard because, you want to give them the eye contact, but then if you give eye contact, you feel even worse that you can't give them anything.
Yeah.
And, how many times can you keep giving things to people?
Yeah. Mm. It's true.
It's true.
And actually, can we just talk about this very quickly?
Go on, giving poor people money.
Because there's something that happened this week.
Homeless people.
This week is 40 years of Band-Aid.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, oh, yeah, Geldof. I see Geldof come out everywhere. Geldof he's on everything at the moment.
Geldof came out and he was at, you know, he was at Virgin Radio and everything like that. So now Band-Aid, for me, you and everybody else, especially Asian people as well, was a big moment. And, every, you know, I remember mum and dad watching it and, you know, saying, oh, what a brilliant guy this is. And, you
I wasn't
know,
born.
You weren't born, but you know, given for this Gora to
banger though, banger.
It is a banger, and they re-released a newer version. They got like Dizzy on
it's
it, and
they did that years later, the Dizzy one.
No, but they brought him again, and they got some newer voices on
it. Oh wow!
Anyway,
why'd you do that? Don't do that.
A couple of things I just want to say about that is obviously it was a great thing, but what I didn't realize is that there is so many people against him. There are so many people against Bob Geldof and what he did, and they're going, oh, well, you just made millions out of it, blah, blah, blah. Oh, it's just an insult. Oh, it's just like white people just showing off their power. And I've never looked at it like that. You know, for one guy to have seen a news program and then gone, right, let's try and raise some money. And the only way he could do it, he was a musician. But he's, you know, if you go online.
No, but that's with everything. Like, I know people that do a lot of charity stuff. And they never post it online for that reason. Because people feel like, oh, they're only doing it for that. Because there's always, whatever you do, there's always going to be a group of people that will think the opposite of what you think you're doing it for.
But like there was black people on BBC as well, like on BBC News, and all saying, oh no, it was bad because it's been bad actually, saying that, you know, that Africa and all that is in debt and everything. It means that the interest on their debt has increased and blah, blah, blah. So they're still paying off more debt, all of this. And I'm just like, We just lost sight of what this guy did, and you could have done nothing, right?
Yeah.
But he did something, and I think it was pretty amazing to have done that, because let's face it, there's a lot of people who are not doing anything. So then it brought me into, it's brilliant that he did that.
Yeah.
But why is it they're always asking us poor people to keep buying singles and keep donating money and all of that, when you've got all these rich people anyway who could probably donate probably more than what they're going to get maybe in one night if they just gave their money away?
But the system
is messed up, isn't it? Like, they're only asking poor people to donate money.
Yeah.
I don't think they're just asking poor people, Kej. They're asking everyone.
They're leaning on the masses, and the masses are...
The masses are struggling.
Yeah, of course, but you're not just going to go to rich people and say, oh, by the way, can we all fix this? It ain't going to work like that. You have to ask everybody.
But then that's why they... I forget the stats. It's like, you know, 3% of the world's population holds 90% of the world's wealth and all that kind of stuff. So... You're right.
Apparently, there was a stat that the Asian people own more property in London than white people.
Well, the big thing is, sorry,
I'm
whispering it because he could even be in this restaurant.
Yeah.
The local MP who lives in Redbridge, this borough where we are filming right now, he has got the most properties out of everyone in the House of Commons, House of Parliament, out of all the MPs.
Yeah.
He's got the most properties, and I think it's like 12 properties that he's got. Wow. And he's the local Redbridge MP and all that.
Baller.
But I'm like, there you go.
I was just like, this week I was slightly divided. I didn't know how to feel about it, because I loved Band-Aid growing up and everything like that. And then you hear all this other neggy stories about it, and you're like, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, if someone's doing something nice.
I was wondering why Geldof was popping up everywhere.
Yeah, that's why.
He got absolutely rinsed yesterday by Ricky Gervais.
It was a funny joke.
Ricky Gervais is brilliant. Ricky Gervais never misses. There was a funny joke
just about how, what was it?
He was talking about how his life, Ricky Gervais goes, I only got successful after 37
that's
or something
it, yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
And he goes, otherwise, I'd be ending up sleeping like a homeless person in my car, like him.
Like him.
Bob Geldof.
He was really funny. And Geldof's face was brilliant.
Cussing him out.
Okay.
Final thing.
Yeah.
I now have got from Euston, I've got to Green Park, central London, by the way. All very Christmassy.
Everyone's out by Green Park. It is so nice.
I walked through London the other day. It's just Christmas. That's
I love it.
And I love Green Park because it's not far from like Hyde Park, Mayfair, all of that. Yeah. And you got...
Did you walk through the park?
No, I didn't, because I came up because I had my big bag. I came out at the station and we were going... I was meeting my missus for lunch. That's why I got on the early train. Little birthday lunches for both of us. And everyone's got like their Christmassy coats on.
Yeah.
And all that. And you know, can I just say... People look like money. They look like money over there. Their hair, their tans, the shoes, the jeans. They're looking at the guys. They're dressed.
Oh,
like,
near New Bond Street and all that.
All of that, right? Yeah. It's all of that. Green Park area. Money. So I'm just sort of people watching a bit. And I see a woman who's sort of doing a bit of a march down the road towards us. But she, Well, I'll just say she looked normal. Like there was nothing untoward about it. Black leggings, black T-shirt kind of thing, right? Right, little jacket.
White socks and, on the outside of the leggings, trainers.
I'm walking along and I just happen to be parallel with a guy, right, who's walking alongside with me. And she leans straight into him. She's coming at him from in front. He's walking forward. We're walking away. She leans straight and she goes, "You got a tiny penis and you got a tiny penis and raisins for testicles."
Where did that come from?
I just burst out laughing. She was, "You got a tiny penis and raisins for testicles."
It could have been you, but it went.
It could have been anyone.
It could have been you.
She was just shouting at people down the street, right? She was a bunny. Right. She was a bunny, right? And the guy, I burst out laughing because obviously it was over in a flash. And as I looked down at him, he just sort of closed his eyes because she just came right into his face. So he didn't. He was a bit older than me, so he must be about mid-50s, right? And he just sort of went like winced a bit, closed his eyes, and she went, "You got a tiny penis and raisins for testicles." And walked off.
Ooh.
And I went, "Welcome to London." He went, and he turned to me, quite funny. "What's baffling is I want to know how she knows." I thought, "That's so good. Well done. And then he goes, and we carried on walking that direction. He goes, "I didn't even see her coming." I said, "Exactly." I said, "But that's the scary thing about big cities. You don't know who's going to jump out. You got a tiny penis and raisins for testicles."
You see, that's quite common, seeing random stuff like that in London. The other day when I was walking through, I was just like, there was just these two ladies shouting at everyone down like near Victoria. And I was just like, what is going on?
I love the bargain.
What is going on? With the bargain, I was standing there, on, do you know, like the crossroad, like the on the pedestrian crossing, like in the middle of the triangle. I was just looking across the road. I was like, what are these two ladies just doing? It was mental.
I love it. Welcome, that's crazy. City life.
And something crazy that I tried this week was I was in the canteen at work. And normally I always go down for a quick toast. At 10 o'clock, peanut butter.
Quick toast.
You know, do you think, side tangent now.
Yeah. Goes down for
do you
quick
think,
toast.
Do you think that's when you know you're getting old? When you have times of the day that you do things. That's not a young person's thing.
No, because I've got to fit it into the schedule. Because you know.
Exactly. That's not a young person's thing.
That's because of his work, Tommy.
No, because of my work schedule.
No, but do you think,
meetings and stuff like that.
He has a little window at 10:30.
Okay, that's your little breakfast.
The fact that Satch knows the windows.
Okay, so that's not a Buddha thing.
No.
But he used to do the same.
You know, like my mum and dad. But he used to do the same.
Remember when he used to get his banana right in the studio? It was at a certain time.
10:08.
Yeah, it was 10:08.
It's still.
It was 8 o'clock. In the 8 o'clock news, the banana would come out.
Yeah, like
It's now moved to nine.
Oh, has it?
It's now moved.
Then you throw half of it in the bin, you piss me off every damn night. Yeah. Why do you find the banana?
Why do you throw half of it in the bin?
No, it's just the end. But it's about that much.
Yeah. I have a go at Milo and Logan about that. Because they don't like the nipple bit at the end.
It's not. But anyway, so I went just quick toast with peanut butter. And then I thought, you know what? I had a bit of a headache. And I thought, you know what? I fancy a little bit more today because I needed to eat some food. So I got one toast with peanut butter and I got another separate toast with jam. Just because I thought I'd just switch it up. Do you know what I mean?
Crazy.
What flavour?
Strawberry.
And then bits, no bits?
Bits, obviously, lumpy. And then I closed it and then I put it like, you know, in a takeaway box because then obviously I'm taking back up to my desk and everything like that. Yes. And then I'm paying it. So obviously when you go to pay, the guy on the till who I know now, his name is Kirill. He's a good guy. I always say hello to him.
Squirrel?
Kirill.
Kirill.
He's Polish, I think. Or Kirill. Yeah, Romanian, one of them.
Could be a bit messy.
It could be, isn't it? Yeah. Kirajit.
I was going South Indian, but
yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I opened the box up to show him.
Secret Kirill.
And you just go, "Oh, I got one toast with peanut butter, one with jam." And he went, that is a disgrace.
Yeah, it is a disgrace.
And I went, what happened there? Yeah, he's normally really nice to me. I said, what's happened? He went, You've cut them in half and you folded them together.
Yeah, why would you sandwich it?
You put peanut and jam together.
Yeah, because it wouldn't. No. Like the peanut ones are folded like together.
Yeah,
and the jam ones are folded together.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Like, because it wouldn't fit in a box. Mix and blend. Yeah, no. Jam and the peanut.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So I was like, I said, "Well, what's wrong?" I said, I had to cut them because trying to fit two toasts into this box is hard. So I had to do this.
Yeah.
He went, "Mate, what you need to do is you need to get one of those jam slices, one of the peanut bars, stick them together."
No.
Oh, mix it. He wanted to mix it. Not a separation.
I went, "Mate, are you serious?"
Yeah, no.
He went, "That is the way." He goes, "If you're doing jam," he goes, "why else are you getting peanut butter and jam?
Two different flavours, isn't it?
And I'm like, "Well, because I said I wanted a bit of peanut butter, but then I thought I just wanted something sweet with the coffee, so I'll just have a..."
I don't mix my dal with my paneer.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Kedge does.
No, you don't.
And then he goes, "No, what?"
Paneer and dal.
No. Don't be silly. Yeah. No, there's craziness and then there's weirdness. So... I said, no. He goes, honestly, do it. It will change your life.
Did you do it?
So I didn't do it in front of him. I paid for it. I walked up the stairs and I thought, why would you do that?
Yeah.
And then I thought, you know what?
Go on then.
You only live once. Let's just do one slice.
Yeah. YOLO.
So I did it. Stick together. Yep. Massive bite. Can I tell you, it is the most incredible bit of sandwich toast I've ever had.
So Americans do peanut butter and jelly. That is jelly is jam. Right?
Yeah.
So that's a thing.
But in all my years of my life, I've never tried this. And I felt like an absolute wild jungly doing it.
What is it that works? So it's a bit like when I remember first having cheese with a chili chutney or like a jam.
Remember that? Oh my God, where's this flavour?
If I ever make a sandwich, it's cheese and jam.
Yeah. Oh, cheese and jam.
Cheese and jam.
Yeah, do you like a pickle?
No, jam. Like as in strawberry jam. Really? Sweet. Or marmalade, right, which is sweet and cheese.
Which is going
so then I think you guys might like this. Because peanut butter and jam, honestly, I don't like
peanut butter. Dead.
And by the way, people put banana in that as well.
Peanut butter on the banana and honey on the old jam.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so you could have everything at 9:10.
My life was changed this week. Honestly, I have never tried that, and I would love to recommend that to everybody. Try it: peanut butter jam, one toast.
I just don't like peanut. Peanut butter, I don't like.
Nah.
Oh, I love peanut butter.
Not a fan.
I like a Snickers though. So I mean,
do you know what it tastes like?
Yeah,
Flipping plaster.
No, that's funny.
Do you know, like, it's just
You got to have sun pat. You're not having sun pat. Are you having sun pat peanut butter?
I'm not having anyone pat me.
Try that one.
And then I think it will be game changing.
I just don't like it.
You know when people say, oh, have you ever put black pepper on strawberries?
Oh, yeah. All Asian people do that.
On pineapple and
Asian people put black pepper on everything.
What's that fruit, that little one? My mum and dad used to put lawn and black pepper on that. No, like Amrut?
That's a whiskey, isn't it?
That's a whiskey.
No, I know it is as well. Marut.
Maruti. Suzuki.
It's karmic. No. It's almost like a little dinda. Brute. It's a fruit.
Brute. That's a deodorant.
Oh.
It looks like it's green.
Oh, dinda. Like a... Hold on. It's quite sticky?
I don't know. But
it's a berry. It's a berry.
It's hard. Gooseberry.
It's gooseberry.
It's like a gooseberry.
Gooseberry.
But it's quite...
Hard.
Hard, yeah.
Yeah, it's good for your hair, apparently.
Oh, well.
You didn't have enough.
I didn't eat enough. But they put a bit of salt and pepper on. That was nice. Juicy fruit.
I don't know why brown people would put salt and pepper on fruit, bum.
Yeah. Like, my uncle used to have, you know, like passion fruit, and you just cut the top off and you put the pepper in there and scoop it out. It's so nice.
Oh, man.
So nice.
I think there's certain cultural things that we all get up to. So you're happy. You have with your peanut butter and jam.
Yeah, I just thought I'd bring it to the brown low because I just thought, you know what, some people might not have tried that. And if I'm feeling the joy, I want people to feel that joy.
Peanut butter's a good source of energy, good source of protein anyway, so it's all good things. That's like a
speaking of joy and protein, two things that you need when you go to the gym, obviously. Obviously, you know, I think we said it a couple of weeks ago, we've both signed up to David Lloyd. And we're liking it.
We're liking it.
But I think me and you, Tommy, had a bit of a discovery this week that we kind of we weren't planning on talking about it, but it just came out in conversation.
What did we say?
It was about the changing room story.
Yes.
Oh, this started on the WhatsApp group, and then we had to abruptly stop it because we said this.
I think
might
Tommy
be,
actually started we need it. To and save I was just this. Like, I know exactly what you're talking about.
We need
about.
To save this for the podcast. So let's, because I don't know what you guys want about.
Okay, so I'm in the changing room. I look around at an older Asian guy, right? Okay.
Oh, no, I got no Asians in mine.
Oh, okay. All white people. Okay, right. No, mine has got a mix. It's in like, you know, it's in the Chigwell area.
And black people.
So you got like Desi's kind of, you know, new money kind of desi, call it right.
I would hate to go to a gym where everyone's brown.
No, they're not. Everyone's not.
Sad.
Because it's actually a mix of.
You can't say that.
It's a mix of sort of uncles with kind of like who've made money. Like, they've done well in property and whatever and things like that. It's that kind of those kind of new age East London.
I can handle it.
And also Tawi people. So now, very
how do you
scope
the gym outside if there's any brown people?
Well, I don't live in the brown area, so it's for me, it's fine. Like there is no brown people there. Right. I ain't got to worry about that.
So,
but I'm just trying to think now. He's just painted a picture that he goes into the gym and everyone's brown. Like,
not everyone. A significant amount. 30-40%.
Right.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Right.
Go on.
So I look around, I see an old Asian guy.
Yeah.
And he is getting ready, right? Or getting changed.
Yeah.
We're in the men's changing room?
Yeah, in the men's changing room. Now, in the men's room, there's lockers all around.
Yeah.
And then there's like a bench in the middle, which is like a low table. Looks like a coffee table.
Okay.
But it's got leather on top of it. It's like a padded
Yeah.
Table, chair, you can sit on it, you put your bag on there.
Did you say yours is in the middle? Mine is like scattered around.
Yeah, there's a few of them because obviously the change rooms are in little cubbies, isn't
they? Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. You like get your own little area.
15, 20 lockers there. Yeah.
15, slightly suspect there. What these leathery.
No, it's like a little low table. No, but it's, you come in, you put your bag down, it's like knee height. You know, right?
And if you wanted to sit on it, it's actually quite nice to sit on.
Yeah, padded. Okay.
It's padded. Like, right. Do you know, it's nice.
It's like a gymnastic kind of horse.
It's got little studs all around the outside of it, like a nice bit of embroidery.
Slightly kinky, but anyway.
Yeah, no, not really.
No, it's like, Kedge, imagine you've gone to like NHS gym. And it's like you've just got plank of wood and the hook above you.
Right, got it.
This is like fat. Do you know what? Like, how the footballers have it? It's a bit like
I was going to say like a little massage bit in the middle.
Right, go on. So I look around, old Asian uncle, right? He's there getting ready and takes off his kecks, takes everything off, right?
Yeah, everything off. Like,
coming out of the shower, he drops his towel, right?
NFG.
Right? Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
And then, with his bare, raw chitter, sits down on this communal
leather
seating area, the leathery bin.
Right? See, I told you. I told you that is kinky.
Bum to leather.
Now, I'm sorry, I turn a little bit racist because in my head I'm going, if I was a Gora now, going, I'd look at him and go, what are you doing, man?
No, but you don't have to because the Gore do that at my gym.
He's the only person. Oh, really?
They do. It's normal.
I'm glad.
So what is this?
Because I felt like he was letting aside. But then I'm looking at him thinking, your bare bum is on.
And everything in between.
Right. And also, like, as he sat, he was skinny. As he sat, and I'm just imagining his chitter opening up a little bit. I'm just saying, right? And I'm like, how much of the actual hole is touching? What's touching? Your hair is
a surface area.
And I would come along, if I hadn't seen it, I would come along and put my bag down. I might sit on it with my clothes.
Well, I nearly did that today.
Because there's bum fluff and then there's more.
Right.
Mate, and there was bum crumbles. Yeah. Anything.
So he said it.
Front bits.
And then he
scrotum.
Then he's wiping his feet with his towel, right, and all that. And I'm going, and honestly, I'm disgusted. I'm thinking, this is wrong. This is wrong what he's did. And then I message Sat. And I messaged you guys
you
in the group. And I went, this is really, because I can't take a picture. I want to take a picture.
No, don't take a picture.
How wrong
you get arrested for that.
No, it's in the change room. Yeah. But I'm going, this is wrong.
It's normal.
It's wrong. Bare bum on it. And you said
it's normal.
It's normal. Everyone does it.
Even today, I was there was no space. I was there with my bag and I went in, like, I had my headphones on, went into the change rooms, took my bag off. Guy just got off the leather seating thing, butt naked. You could see the imprint of his arse.
Yeah, there you go.
With bunny all around it and stuff. Right, and it's just a watery arse now.
You guys.
All over the thing. And I'm like, I would have just stepped in if I'd not seen you and put my bag on that. And my bag's just covered in your arse.
But this is what I mean. But you guys going to the gym like it's some sort of like really hygienic place. There's all this.
No,
like,
but it's not hygienic. But kids, you just think you're going to go in there. You're going
to
quickly
This is why I don't go to the gym.
But even if you just put his kachi on first, then that would have been all right. Then at least that way. Then sit down and do what you need to
do. We don't want sack on leather.
No, yeah, exactly.
We need to sack off the leather.
You know what? I didn't even think of his front bits. I didn't because I couldn't.
That's what I mean. The front, of course, there's back, that as well.
Oh my god!
And then does this happen in the women's changing room as well?
I think it probably does.
Who knows? It has to.
And then after that,
some people might put their face on it and whatever.
I see a kid lying on there.
Right. Yeah, that's right. What I mean. Yeah.
Imagine that's your kid lying with Uncle's pubic bum hair. In his teeth now. That's wrong. No, I'm not cutting him. Fuck, I can't even laugh at it.
But there's no rules. There's no etiquette on this leather wooden
people,
horse.
Yeah, you can do it. Why don't people know?
Why is it a leather horse anyway, for a start? Why is it leather wooden?
I think it's leather.
It's David Lloyd. It's nice.
You're asking for trouble.
And no, but if it's leather, because it's a cleaning thing.
This uncle, Kaka, obviously fancied a bit of leather on his chitter, didn't it?
Like, well, he probably feels like, well, I've had a shower. I'm nice and clean.
I'm clean, yeah.
And actually, maybe he's a little bit older, so he wants to sit down to get his jalabs and his band on.
No, but maybe it was his fetish. You know, they like a little bit of leather.
No, I don't. It wasn't a kinky way. It was an obliviousness. Right. And you know, one thing my dad always busted my balls about when I was growing up, he goes, be aware. That was his line. Be aware.
No, but
open your eyes. Look around.
I see people coming out the shower and stuff, and they're like, you've just come out barefoot and you're walking around now the changing room.
Yeah.
Everyone's just walked in with their trainers as well. Yeah. So now you're dirty.
Mud.
Like, what the F are you doing? Like, why are you... This is disgusting.
That's a straight
and,
up
and then after that, you know, I started...
Put some flip-flops or something on your bottom of your foot.
Right. But I started questioning the whole gym, communal
of
gym
Of course
thing,
it
right?
is. This is why I don't go home.
And then I suddenly thought, you would never get into a bathtub with another man or three or four other men.
No.
And yet you get into a jacuzzi and go, all right, Frank,
and you start
all right,
Dave.
Yeah. And you're like, we're all in a bathtub together.
Yeah. Well, that, but that's like, what's the swimming? What's the swimming pool?
Swimming same pool's thing. The same thing.
Swimming pool, and you know,
but that's got chlorine. I suppose, yeah. So
no,
it's,
no,
it's,
but chlorine is not actually deactivating all the bits of you know,
glass
that's flying around from people's backsides and stuff, is it?
Right. So but it was. I guess I suppose what I was worried about, I thought this is Asian people and our obliviousness to hygiene and public ways of behaving. Because then I was going to link it to today. I didn't know that you were saying that. Because also today on the tube, me and my missus coming back, and she goes, oh, you know, there's one chair. I said, you sit down. I'm going to stand with my bag because I'm still carrying my bag around from the journey. Yeah. Mm. She said, there was an Asian brother, again, older guy, older than me, probably about 50, not much older than me, right?
This is basically what you're saying is you're going to be here soon. Because they're all these people who are all
I'm more aware than that. Okay,
there might be this period where this awareness starts going.
Maybe. Slap me, bring me back. Okay?
I will.
But this guy,
on the backside.
This guy was sat with his legs so spread so wide, like he's got four testicles.
Yeah.
Right? And he said, spread so. Oh, thank you. Look, Pooja, look. Hold on one second. Peace and a wonderful little blessing for us.
We'll take it.
Okay. All right. I didn't know what to do. Bless the brown. Thank you very much. Thank you for that. What's the occasion, Pete? How come we got blessings? We're blessing the Brownlord, man. Okay, lovely.
Well,
you know what? Watch. Now, when we have the best year ahead ever, Pete, we'll put it down to countries and the blessings that we got on this day.
Or we might shut down.
There you go. And we'll send blessings to you guys. Yeah, exactly. And then we'll all be blessed.
Yeah, exactly.
And never have to part with his bakwas again. The guy was sat with his legs so spread so wide. Yeah. And I went, I said, you're right, bro. I said, do you mind just sitting in your chair? Because he's now hanging over my wife's seat. Yeah. Right? Because she sat down and she's nudged
Tommy
right
said
up.
Something. Yeah.
And I went, do you want to close your legs? Because I wouldn't have done otherwise. Yeah. It's my wife, right? Yeah. I went, do you want to close your legs? I said, and just stay in your chair, maybe.
Yeah.
And he looked at me, moved his leg, and just looked down. No word said. I'm like, you arrogant little shit. I'm sorry, mate. Just say, oh, sorry. What was I thinking?
Yeah.
You know, if I'm sat in someone's chair, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Vocalize it. Yeah. So I was getting annoyed. I've got annoyed this week. That was it. Annoyances from the community.
Well, I've got something to cheer both of you up.
Please, Ked.
By the way, I don't want to put a downer on the gym, Tommy, because that story is like, it's, you still feel good when you go to it.
Today, just before I came to the podcast, I've been, and it was dark, it was cold, and I went into the outside jacuzzi. That was lovely. Good. It felt like I was in Finland.
This is why both of you are not wearing trousers, because we've got some nice funky
on Pete's restaurant seats. Here.
Crack out.
Don't stand up until I've pressed stop on the video. But I was going to cheer one of you up today, actually. So I don't want you to fight over this, but I have got exclusive tickets to go and see a film.
Hold on. What's coming out? I don't know. Wicked came out already. Moana's out. No, when's Moana out?
Moana's is this week.
Yeah. Oh, is it Moana?
Yeah. No, it's not Moana.
Oh, okay.
It's for something even better than that.
Hold on. Has The Rock got Moana and Red One both out?
Yeah, both coming.
Wow. He's going to be a good Christmas in The Rock's house. Yeah, he's going to order some extra pigs in blankets for Christmas.
I've got a spare ticket because I'm going, but I've got a spare ticket. So one of you, we can do a little toss-up. I'll leave you guys to
Moana.
No, not Moana. It's the new film with Ralph Fiennes in it. It's called Conclave.
Conclave? I haven't even heard of it.
I think I know what he's on about.
It's about the Pope. The Pope dies, and then they have to elect a new one. And it's all the dodginess and the misdemeanors that go on in the Vatican.
Tommy, seeing it was your birthday this week,
yeah,
I think you should go.
I'm busy. I think isn't conclave that lens? You got a convex and conclave.
Concave.
Oh, okay. Is it anything to do with lenses?
No. Conclave.
It's about the Pope, bruv.
It's the
what does conclave mean, though?
It's the gathering of the church.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to all conclave together.
Yeah. You two should conclave and go to.
So, do you guys? Are you either of you in? Doesn't sound like it.
You want to take me to see a film about the Pope?
Yeah.
Why not?
No. I'm all right. I'm all right for. I mean, you. As much as you sold it into me.
Yeah.
You sold it to me. Pete will go with you. He loves going to the cinema. Pete, you want to go to the cinema with Kedge and watch Conclave? Yeah. Kedge watched a film recently. Yeah. A horror one. Which one did you watch? It was, see, look, Pete actually generally listens to the podcast. Yeah, yeah. And?
I really want to watch it.
Yeah, bang. I want to watch Heretic. It's a thriller. Then Long Legs was another thing that he recommended. See, look, so basically, your review now, Kedge, see, your name is mud.
You didn't understand it, that's the problem.
Long Legs was over my head.
The legs were too long.
It was a very deep film. Yeah. It was very deep. Well, I only watched the deep intellectual films.
Are you going to go and watch Conclave?
I'm going. I'm so. I love a Pope.
It might be a good film.
Oh, actually. I love a Pope story.
Yeah.
I love it.
Pope story. How many others have you seen? Name me one. Pope story. Hold on. And when is it this week? Is it tomorrow, Wednesday?
Tomorrow.
Tommy, please, guys.
I'm going to just put something in my diary now. I've got an early start Thursday.
I'm going to go and watch that. And also, can I just say that I have seen Dune Prophecy, which I really recommend.
Dune Prophecy is the sequel to Dune.
It's not a sequel, it's just a TV series of which is set in the Dune world.
Shoe shop.
It happens about 1,000 years before the actual first Dune film. Okay. And it's all about the sisterhood.
There is something on Netflix called Three Body Part. It's so good. Apparently, it's the new Game of Thrones.
No. It's not. I'm not going to go that far. And also, it's old. Why is it just on your radar?
No, I
smashed it out a long time ago.
Yeah, of course you did.
What three body parts are you talking about?
Three body problem. Yeah.
You are not going to like it because it's slightly scientific.
I don't mind that.
It's based on a book. It's really clever book.
Listen to what a prick this guy is, right? You're not going to like it.
We're scientific.
It's based on a really clever book. Smashed it out ages ago. But you've got to realise what a knob you sound like when you say things like that.
I'm just saying that.
I'm just pointing it out as your brother.
You're not into those kind of shows.
Yeah, huh?
You guys are not into those kind of shows.
But okay, so did you watch Game of Thrones?
No.
Okay, so I've heard it's like as good as Game of Thrones.
It's not that good. I'm telling you that now. It's not that good. It's good.
Can I bring it back to something that everyone's probably watching? Please, a lot of people are watching.
What?
I'm a Celebrity.
You know what? I'm gutted. Because I've been out most nights and there's been shows and events and that bingo. I did the bingo last week. I did the bingo night and then I was going to Birmingham comedy nights and all that.
Do you know
stuff.
What? So I'm late. I'm still watching back. Like I think I'm on episode 4 or something and I think we must be eight or seven. I don't really know anyone in it.
Apart
from Colleen Rooley, who I think she's...
Oti Mabuse, the ex-Strictly dancer.
Not a fan.
You got Colleen, obviously.
I think I'm liking her because if you've never really seen anything.
There's a presenter from who's a little bit annoying from Radio 1.
Dean something. He keeps losing all the things. He said, "I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here twice."
Yeah,
on the task. So he's left with no stars.
Yeah.
He's scared of like fish guts touching him and stuff.
Yeah. And you got that one, Melvin.
Doom.
Who basically announced his love for Cara Vorderman, and Cara Vorderman's got involved and going, I'm watching you and all of that kind of stuff.
Oh,
like,
really?
They kind of, because he goes, I really fancy her. And then they made him like pretend like he was going to ask her out and stuff. And
is Cara Vorderman in the jungle?
She's obviously watching it, and then she's done a little reply on her Instagram. Nice. So I think it's quite good. And they got that the columnist who's on Loose Women and I forgot her name now. Yeah, she's from the Sun.
I actually think the last year's lineup was better.
Really,
but it's been good. I think. Do you know what it is with that? It's like I think why I'm a Celebrity is good is
Barry McGuigan.
It comes.
Barry McGuigan, didn't it?
Yeah, the boxer.
Good lad. He's always getting involved too much, but he's
steady. The reason why I think I'm a Celebrity is good is because it comes once a year and it's only there for 2 weeks or whatever, and then that's it, it's done. And that's why I think that people watch it because it's like. We ain't getting that all year.
Not too much investment.
It's not Big Brother 3 month job. So when does it say it's going to end soon? Surely.
I think it will soon. In about a week or so.
All right. Things we've learned.
Things we've learned. You'll like this. Let me kick things off because my one is an Italian phrase, and it's an Italian phrase which I think absolutely applies to Desi men as well.
Ooh.
And it's a phrase for Italian men.
Go on.
And that phrase is umarel.
Umarel. Two words, one word?
One word, U-M-A-R-E-L-L. And it's a term that the Italians have got for old men who like to just watch building sites and construction work taking place. And they just give their advice. So you know when you see them...
So
like,
you can be an umarel.
You can be an umarel, right, exactly.
Like an uncle, basically.
But in that... So an umarel is an uncle in that mode where he's going around like, you know what? you want to move that there. That beam is not right. You know the kaka, like you would call the kaka that gets involved.
Everyone knows one.
Who comes along? Look, and I'm doing a build project as well, buy a house and all that. And you got you got so many. You know,
Kedge is your umarel because he said you need to come in and
do this, do it this way.
No, he said the driveway.
Driveway, a bit more space, so right. Can't come in.
But more so that you know, like the ones when if there's a building going on, they're like, you know what, I'm gonna just go and have a look. And they just give their advice, and it's an Italian term, but I think it really does apply to Desi Man. So when you next see a Desi Man, just get an overly involved.
It's a male word.
Female, umarella. I don't know. This didn't say about it, it was a female, but it was a specific thing for those men that just get involved in things that have nothing to do with them. They just want to go and give building advice.
Can I go next?
Yes,
because it's not about Italians, but it's about Brazilians. I'm going from Italy to Brazil, and Brazil is by far the country that takes the most showers.
Oh, okay. Oh,
on average, Brazilians shower every 12 hours.
Brazilians
shower every 12 hours.
Okay. But it's hot,
England must be low in that.
Do you know what the average number of showers per week is for the rest of the world?
Go on.
No, go on. Just
how many showers a week?
How many showers a week do you reckon? On average?
For the rest of the world. No, not seven.
Oh, no, for the rest of the world. Okay.
Two.
So they're every 12 hours. That means,
they're doing two a day. That's 14, 14 a week.
Two a week.
Bit more than that.
Oh, okay. But then obviously there's places that don't have water and supply, you know, all that.
Five. No, but it's not like as in the rest of the world like that have got water problems. It's the rest of the world like normal.
Civilized. Yeah. Like, you know, No, sorry, civilized is the wrong word.
Developed countries. I know people in London who don't have one shower a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's rank. Five. Yeah. It's five, the average.
Five.
Yeah.
So people in 7 days.
People in 7 days, you've only had five showers. Well, there's a problem.
There's.
Of course there is. Well, that's the problem is on the underground.
There is.
You ever sat on the underground first thing in the morning?
Oh, yeah, man, I don't get that. I don't get how you can be so smelly first thing.
First thing, like at the
barriers. Because they haven't showered. Yeah, that's why.
It's the musk. It's the musk smell.
Oh, okay. Anyway, what have you learned?
Right, my one is: what was the first ever waterproof watch?
Waterproof. Okay, was it Casio?
Nope.
Swatch.
Nope.
Swatch watch. Diver's watch.
No. It was. All thanks to Hans Wilsdorf, who was the man behind Rolex.
Okay.
Ooh. The first ever waterproof Rolex. It was called the Rolex Oyster in 1926.
Hold on. Is that the world's first waterproof watch or the world's first waterproof Rolex?
Watch. Because he bought the patent for the whole waterproof situation.
Never made
it waterproof. And then, to test it, he got his secretary, who was swimming the channel... He went, would you mind just wearing this watch? And back then, it was just on like a necklace.
Yeah.
So she wore the necklace. She swam the channel in 1927.
Yeah.
She wore around the neck. She didn't actually make it across the channel, but she swam for about 10 hours.
Oh, well, she died.
No, she just couldn't do it. But she swam for about 10 hours. But there was a photo that of her wearing it.
Yeah.
He sent that to the Daily Mail. That's how it became absolutely massive. And it was then known that this watch, the Rolex, was the first one to become... waterproof. And what I thought was amazing about this is that the watches, what I learned in this sort of research I did about watches, is that men never used to wear watches on their wrists.
Where do they wear it?
Tell me where they wear it.
No, because basically it always used to be the one that
the pocket watch.
Yeah. And it was only women who wore watches because it was seen as a fashion accessory. And then all of a sudden Rolex came along and they start putting it on men's wrists.
Yeah.
And you know,
and riches.
And riches as well.
Yeah.
And there we go. So all this is Rolex.
Would you buy Rolex?
No, I don't care.
Would you buy Rolex?
I would.
I don't care.
But I don't think I'd wear it. Investment.
Pete, have you got Rolex? Yeah, how many Rolexes have you got? Be honest. Four Rolexes. Oh, yeah. And we've got friends, you know I'm talking about, who collect them and I think there's a thing. Yeah. Desi men, I'm going to say it, love a Rolex.
Oh, they do. That's why I'm giving this info about the Rolex, because I thought a lot of Asian men wear the Rolex, but they don't know about the facts.
I'd buy it, but I wouldn't wear it.
No, but I think, look, it's a status thing. Look at it. Look at it now on Pete's arm. Look at that. Look at it blink. That's a gold one. What is that one called, Pete? Do you mind me asking?
Day-date.
What?
Day-date.
Is that what Day-date. It's called?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what Kedge goes on. They're like, by the night time, they're like, nah, mate, piss off.
Bedtime by 9 o'clock.
Exactly, sorry. I can't stay
also,
out late.
Also, the Mom Rolex, won't let me. You know what originally was going to be called as well?
Is it being sponsored this week?
Yeah.
No.
Just done a bit of...
They're waterproof. I listened to a very good podcast about this, but they almost called it the Rolexus.
No, they didn't.
No, that was
it was almost going to be called Rolexus.
Rolexes. It sounds like, you know, like how Asians would say, bro, what, you got any Rolexes?
Yeah,
me, you know what I mean?
But Rolex and Lexus.
Yeah.
Maybe they should do a little thing now.
A little combo.
We should call it the Brown Lotus.
Yeah. he's getting his Rolex plug in. Anything you want to mention for a little freebie?
The only thing I want to mention is make sure you're there on the 10th of December.
Of December. People, we are doing it in Birmingham. So if you're anywhere around, we want to see you in our live podcast at the Glee Club Birmingham. It will start at about 6:15 in the evening, get there about 6 o'clock. And it'll be done by 7:30. Right?
Yes, yes.
It's £10 a ticket. Go to Love Entertainment, LUVEntertainment.co.uk for your tickets. LoveEntertainment.co.uk. If you forget that for whatever reason, go to TommySandu.co.uk and that will direct you to LoveEntertainment.co.uk. Scroll down. They've got lots of shows there. But the Love Entertainment, the people that I do all the stand-up with.
Right.
So it's all the Desi Central. They do Guz Khan's show. They do Noreen Khan's show. They do Tezilia's
show.
Yeah.
Or
Sokorjula.
You could just go to our Instagram page. It's there. Link in bio.
There we go. Even easier. Go to the Brown Load on Instagram. Get your tickets, right? Come and be there. Make a little night of it. And look, you'll be done by 7:30 if you want to go for Kana Fazana.
It's the Christmas Brown Load special. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I'm also...
No, Kej, that's not the Christmas one.
Well, you know, that, on
well,
tour.
It's not the Christmas one.
Well, it's a Christmas pie.
Yeah, we can have our little celebration.
This guy's billing it as something else.
We can have our little celebration.
It's the Christmas pie.
And hopefully...
Wear your Christmas jumper.
We'll make it a nice fun one. Yeah. We'll have a laugh. It'll be something different, a different city, different
town. Should we do Christmas jumper for that?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, in fact, and you're all welcome to bring your own Christmas jumper.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's decided right now.
Okay,
done. 10th of December, we want to see you there.
Christmas jumper.
And we'll remind you all next week. And until next week.
Liz.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.